Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we're looking at cloudy conditions. Chance for some scattered showers and thunderstorms growing as the day goes on. We'll have a high today around the mid-70s. Temperature-wise, we go things with Kenosha starting things out. Partly sunny now, 72 degrees, 68 Burlington, Milwaukee, still some light rain being reported. It is 61 right now, and in Racine, 72 and cloudy. Second Kenosha County community has a burn ban in place until further notice. It's the village of Pleasant Prairie. Summers started it earlier. All burn permits suspended. No burning is being allowed in fire pits, all because of the dry conditions all around southeast Wisconsin. That contributed to a big barn fire in Kenosha County yesterday, the West End. Number of neighboring agencies called in to help the Wheatland area with the fire crews there. The Sunnyview Dairy Farm on Highway 83. A lot of smoke with that fire. It could be seen for miles, according to officials. Animals were safely removed. The fire, though, spread to another barn, as well as some other structures on the site. It is not suspicious, but the Kenosha County Fire Investigation Task Force was still called out to the scene. That farm, by the way, a fourth generation to the Herta family. In Burlington, the Common Council rejected a proposed lease agreement with Burlington Senior Center Incorporated for its new home at 587 East State Street. That would be minus a rent payment for this calendar year. Negotiations on a 2019 figure, the vote to send the issue back to the bargaining table, apparently, for something a little more acceptable. City Administrator Karina Walter said the proposed lease follows last year's memorandum of understanding between the city and Racine County to buy the property, no rent through December, as a way to try to help the seniors group set themselves up for running the place.
This will essentially allow the senior center to grow as an organization. For those of you that are new to the council, the senior center was residing at the Western Racine County building and essentially rent-free, with the exception of utility payments.
Meanwhile, Council President John Schultz noted that in the past year, with closed discussions, there was never a point that no rent came into the mix. City Attorney John Belogic in the Committee of the Whole discussion said the intent was to help the seniors group be successful, notwithstanding, he said, any angst, which is legitimate, about no rent being paid.
Any party can terminate this lease by giving 90 days' notice. Additionally, I gave the power to the city if there are six votes on this common council floor under a special paragraph, we can terminate this lease immediately for any or no reason. So I want to point out we have control over what happens, but we're trusting and hoping that things go really, really well with the board as presently constituted in the future.
New Alderman Steve Rocto voiced concern about giving public works more work.
We've added Martin Square last year, which also now is a city property that has to be maintained. And I don't know if we are doing the path at Bushnell Park, is that under the city's jurisdiction to plow that? But we're seeing that we're adding more maintenance to the DPW without adding staff, and then they feel they're adequately staffed to handle all these additional properties.
When the issue came up for a final vote in the regular business meeting, it was Alderman Schultz, Bowman, Heft, and Rock against the proposed senior center lease agreement, Alderman Cott and Meyer in support. A $390,000 total grant from the Intergovernmental Revenue Sharing Fund toward helping to finance construction of the Wild Root Market Co-op at 500 Walton Avenue on the northeast side of Racine. That got support from the Common Council last night. New Alderman Carrie Glenn, though, said she couldn't support something for just a particular area and for which, she said, her constituents really don't care.
We have our established grocery stores that we are all shopping at now. I get good stuff from where I shop. I'm satisfied. I can get good, healthy food where I shop. Another thing is the vacant space. Could they have not picked a better space, vacant area, in some place, let's say Uptown? We need to revitalize Uptown.
The question of any voting conflict of interest for aldermen who are invested in Wild Root Market, that was addressed by City Attorney Scott Letney, reading from the statutes.
Any organization in which an individual or a member of their immediate family is a director, officer, trustee, or in the aggregate owns or controls at least 10% of the outstanding equity. So if you're one of 1,100, I can do that math. That's less than 10%. But if any of you are directors, officers, trustees, our ordinance would prohibit you from acting, and therefore you should abstain.
12 of the aldermen supported the Wild Root grant, including the few who bought into it, but at a level below that rule for a conflict to vote. Alderman John Tate II did abstain. Carrie Glenn voted against it. not enough adjectives to describe the current condition of Kenosha County, but County Executive Jim Kruser nonetheless did offer a few during his State of the County address last evening, telling supervisors the county is, quote, robust, resilient, solid, heavy duty, exceptional, outstanding.
We now have highest employment in new jobs in Kenosha, the lowest unemployment in 19 years. Income is rising, the overall crime rate has declined, and is lower than the national average. In this region and across the state of Wisconsin, Kenosha is leading the way in key areas.
He also talked about the county's collective drive to be fiscally responsible and the commitment to raise the county's bond rating to a triple A.
Why does that matter? For instance, a mile of county road costs roughly $250,000 to rebuild. For a triple A county, the interest would be about the rate of inflation over 20 years, possibly before you rebuild it again. That's a smart way to do business.
He highlighted the county's efforts to improve mental health services, combat the opioid epidemic, and the county's investment in programs and services that affect overall quality of life. The Racine Common Council said no last night to a Traffic Commission recommended removal of two of four stop signs at Carlisle Avenue and Gould Street. This after almost an hour of debate, and said that staff needs to find something better for that location. Council President Jason Meekma said some kind of traffic calming might be warranted, but the numbers, he said, don't support the signs.
You know, there was the talk about that over 5 years there were 44 accidents and only three within the last since October, but that's only 5 months. And three within 5 months, if you do the math, that will mean we will reach that 44 accidents in a shorter amount of time than the original five-year period to reach that number of accidents. The research shows that stop signs are not an effective means of traffic calming. They're just not. The science shows it.
Alderman Henry Perez said that the hard data on accidents, well, it needs to be factored in with the political reality of also needing to protect children.
I think both arguments are valid. You know, the statistics don't show that this needs to be there. But the practical aspect of it says that since it has been there, the appearance has been that traffic has been lessened, that even when you do the math, they may have the same amount of car crashes, but it's affecting a different group of people. So I think one of the things we need to consider here is, how do we serve our community best?
13-2, the vote against the committee's recommendation for removing the sign, so they stay for now. 13-2 in favor of the staff presenting a safer alternative, which could allow their removal at some point later on. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss spoke about legislative issues affecting the city of Burlington at last night's Committee of the Whole meeting, transportation and Foxconn issues dominating that time. Voss noting money is in the state budget, some of it borrowed for road projects, still no funding source, however, for overall improvements. The local bike trail project, that'll get some money, and there's ways of studying the preventing of flooding problems like they occurred last summer.
You saw that I had a pretty long disagreement with Governor Walker. We agree on 99% of the things, but on funding for transportation, it's where we don't have a good long-term answer. Unfortunately, the state of Wisconsin, under both Democrats and Republicans, there's a lot of blame to go around, increased borrowing to the point where we used to pay everything cash as we would need roads. Now about 23% of all of the money that we pay in through gasoline, registration fees, and driver's license renewals goes just to pay debt service.
Voss talking about Foxconn, the technology impact of the region, related I-94 work, concerns about water use, even fighting the political rhetoric.
Tax credit for every job that they create. So when you hear they're going to create these 13,000 jobs, that is what it's based on. But basically there is a portion of the payroll that they earn between $30,000 and $100,000 where they get, I think it's like 12% of that number in the middle back as a tax credit. So if they never pay the person, if they never hire the person, they don't get a penny. So if they only create 1,000 jobs instead of 13, they would get 1/13 of the number. That number is capped.
Voss also noting a potential impact on the gas tax revenue because of the lowest number of 16-year-olds driving since back in the 60s, making reference to what he termed Uber parents being a phone call or text message away for transportation. Speed limit on southbound I-94 from Highway G in Racine County to Highway 142 in Kenosha County has now been reduced to 60 miles per hour. The new signs put up overnight. Speed limit on northbound 94 will stay at 70 until traffic is switched over to allow the work to begin to rebuild that other side, adding capacity to the interstate. That work is taking place this summer. A couple currently in Waterford appeared in Racine County Circuit Court, reportedly admitting they voted twice in the April 2017 election. Kay and James Dentig have each been charged with two counts of election fraud, one for registering in more than one place, the other for voting in more than one place. The couple, according to court documents, admits voting in the village of Rochester using the address of their home, voting the full ballot. Then they drove to the town of Burlington, where they only voted for the referendum, using the address of the family lake house. A preliminary hearing on the charges has been scheduled for next week. And there's this documentary about the Hello Girls, women sent overseas in World War I. They were switchboard operators, and it's being screened tonight at the S.C. Johnson Golden Rondel Theater. It's from Racine native Jim Terrace. He produced this documentary with over 223 women as the topic, serving as operators during the war. They served with distinction, he says. We're told, though, they were never soldiers when they came back. The program tonight, including the daughter of one of those Hello Girls.
She's flying in from Tampa, and she's going to be there, and she's going to bring her mother's 100-year-old memory book that was given to all the women on Christmas Day, 1918.
Tonight's screening of the Hello Girls at the S.C. Johnson Golden Rondel Theater. It is free. It begins at 6:30. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. Our newscasts are in there in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, that's for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.